Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There was a report today regarding Dawson Knox. That he may have suffered a broken bone in his hand. Just wondering if you can confirm that report, and if you do, have any sort of an initial timeline for Dawson.
Yeah, that is an accurate report, Jay. Dawson did suffer a fracture of his hand. Don't know much more at this point, other than we'll just monitor it. We'll see where it goes here.
Obviously, with that being the case, Tommy Sweeney is a guy that you're going to rely on. We saw him a little bit yesterday. He got his first touchdown, which was a nice moment for him. Reflecting on where he was last year and what he went through to now being counted on, just, you know, what can you say about, you know, his development and really sticking to it, really, and through some tough times?
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. I mean, it's been a long journey for Tommy. Really got off to a good start his first season, and then from there it's been an up and down journey, if you will, and he's done a tremendous job of being resilient, sticking to it, and he got the payoff last night, and he's going to have an opportunity in front of him potentially here as well.
Lastly for me, Sean, could you just kind of walk us through what this week looks like for the guys? Are you springing them today? Will they meet at all? And then, you know, for the coaching staff, how much time will you be able to get away and that kind of thing? Just sort of lay out the week for me if you could.
Yeah, so we just finished our team meeting, and the players will be finished today after we wrap up the film, giving them the necessary feedback they need here. And then the coaches will work through tomorrow, and then they'll get a 4-day weekend, get some rest.
You know, based on how difficult, you know, the lingering frustrations of that loss, and I think you were asked or people talked about it last night, it kind of mirrors just the frustrations of a heart-wrenching loss to Arizona entering your bye week. I know this is not how you want to draw it up, but this team has showed – can you talk about the resilience the team showed in coming back from, you know, the Arizona loss to what you hope it gains from this loss?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to go and never want to lose a game. The reality of it is it's hard to go undefeated. And you never really want to sit on a loss over a bye, just because of the feeling. You want to get rid of it as quickly as possible. That said, it does give us a chance to have some truth-filled conversations and reflect and evaluate why we got the results we got last night and trying to improve our football team going forward.
And just to follow up, how much do you recall did that loss to Arizona really, really motivate and spark those truthful discussions to help you guys get so much better and roll down the stretch last year?
Yeah, I mean, for any competitor, it's hard to sleep at night after a loss like that one in Arizona, the one last night, or any loss for that matter. And it just burns inside. And so I'm not sure if by the hours that pass, if it gets easier or harder, to be honest with you. So I think I'll figure that out as the week goes on here. But yeah, I mean, we got to take a hard look at some things. We were too inconsistent overall last night, and try and get out there and play better football when we get back here.
I want to ask about your offensive line. And I know that when you're developing players, the progress is not always linear. And, but are you satisfied that they're still making progress? And do you think that you still have the best five out there?
Well, I think it's an ongoing evaluation, really, Nick. And I thought there were some moments last night. I mean, listen, there was a lot of we passed the ball a lot last night, and I thought they did a good job in some of those. And there's a couple plays, one play in particular, where impacted the game, where they got to our quarterback there and affected the game, the outcome of the game. So such is the life of an offensive lineman, you know, in the National Football League in particular. And so I appreciate the way that those guys battled. We're going to continue to improve our football team, and they're going to continue to improve as well. And I have full confidence in those guys.
I know you kind of touched on it last night a little bit, but after looking at the tape, is there anything specific that maybe jumps out at you when it comes to struggles in the red zone offensively?
Yeah, no, Heather, we talked about that a little bit already this morning. It is certainly an area we've got to improve. You know, we're leaving potential points off the board, even though a couple of, you know, quite a few of our wins have been lopsided wins. They could have been even more lopsided, right? So, and then last night's game, 2 for 5. I mean, we scored, you know, as well as we played offensively in the game, the end of the first quarter, we're up 6-0, should have been up 14 zip at that point. You know, maybe that's a difference in the game. Maybe it's not, who knows, but don't want to play that game at this point, but we got to do a better job in the red zone execution wise. There's points to be had there for sure.
And I guess just, you know, overall, what is the mentality of the team right now? I know that this is a group that you preach staying even keel, not get too high, not get too low, but what is your sense of where this group is right now hitting the bye?
Yeah, I sense a little bit of what's been talked about on this call with, you know, some of the just sick to their stomach feeling, but also knowing that we didn't play our best football last night and wanting to get to the bottom of it, and looking for solutions to some of what we experienced last night. So that's what I sense more than anything. And then a little bit of it is, hey, looking forward to trying to just get a little bit of rest for the guys too. I think that'll be beneficial for them.
I know you mentioned last night getting off blocks was a little bit of an issue. I know you always say frequently that it starts up front. Just what did the tape show you about some of the battles at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I'll start on the defensive side first, Chris. I thought, you know, there were moments where we had their run game bottled up pretty tight there. And then, you know, we don't do a good enough job fundamentally in some of those gaps. And all of a sudden, you know, Henry goes for 70, or he goes for the couple of touchdown runs that he did have. And so part of it is just the fundamental of using your hands to bench and separate from the blocker. And then so that you can make a good tackle in those situations, in those moments. And then offensively, you know, as I said earlier, I think, you know, for the amount of time we were going backwards, meaning pass setting, I thought, you know, for the majority of the time, we gave our quarterback time to deliver unaffected. But there were moments where we were affected in the passing game. And there's other moments where, you know, there was, I thought we could have moved the line of scrimmage more in the run game, especially against some of the looks we were given there. So, again, improvement for this week as we work, and then next week as well.
And in terms of just resetting that line of scrimmage, did that trickle into some of the issues that Heather was asking about with respect to red zone? Did that stretch into that area of the field too at all?
Yeah, they usually do. So it's, you know, again, it's a game that's usually determined by who wins the line of scrimmage in a lot of the games, in terms of the result. And so I think that's an area that we have to continue to work on, like a lot of areas too, Chris. And but that's a core fundamental of our approach every week.
I was curious, you mentioned that, you know, it can sit with you, or the loss could be harder over a stretch of time. What's kind of your message to the team going into this week off? And like, what do you say to kind of not let that lingering feeling stay with the players?
Well, I think, I think time helps a little bit, and also a change of scenery for some of the guys as they get out of here a little bit and hopefully be smart with where they go and the decisions they make because of all the things that are out there, right, with COVID and everything. So, but yeah, I mean, I think the guys overall just, you know, they feel a sense of, I guess, you know, not being satisfied with the result last night and how we played, how we coached. And so, you know, I think that's the thing that keeps you up at night, honestly, is the points, is the game that led up to the fourth and short. The inconsistent nature of how we performed. That's what keeps you up at night more than anything, because that's what, you know, led us to where we were at that moment. So those are the things we have to address and get fixed.
And then, speaking of the red zone and what Heather was asking about, do you look back on those early decisions to go for those short kicks and, like, you know, think of, you know, if you'd gone there, do you look back on those and think those were the right decision, or how'd you kind of view looking back at those decisions?
Yeah, I go back through it after every game and, hey, go for it, not go for it. We're fairly aggressive, I think, in those windows normally. And last night we just weren't in positions in those windows that we felt like it was, you know, best to go for it. They were longer than what we wanted to go for it in those windows. And we just got to do a better job. We're leaving points again off the board. And, you know, if you want to get into a two-dimensional, one-dimensional conversation, we try and make a team one-dimensional. And if you're up 14 zip at the end of the first quarter, you like where you're going. And so, you know, but we didn't. We were up 6-0 instead of, I thought we, you know, controlled the first quarter for the most part. And but to only be up 6-0 at that point was not where we wanted to be.
I wanted to ask you about the play near the end, very near the end of the game, where New York apparently overruled in terms of that being a first down. To my knowledge, that's new this season, I believe, and that's why I'm asking you about it. I just haven't seen it in a game yet. I'm just wondering, do you have confidence that New York got that particular play right? And if I may follow up, do you have confidence in that as an overriding umbrella overall, that, you know, you think you got the first down, or maybe the officials on the field thought they got a first down, but New York might say otherwise?
Okay, Kim, slippery slope here now.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm really not.
Yeah, I don't like getting fined here. So, no, but all due respect, I do feel like the spot looked to be, when it was adjusted, looked to be fairly accurate. I mean, we're talking about humans here. So the hardest piece of it was signaled a first down.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, things are chaotic there, because all of a sudden it gets changed because they did radio down. And that's what I asked Cleet after the game. And he was great. He was great about it. And just making sure I understood how that went down, because the communication piece in this new way we're handling things, I think it's helping the quality of the game for the better. And again, getting that call right, I think, is important for the game, the quality of the game. The communication piece, I think, is something we're still working through, because, you know, that kind of is important that we get that done, so that both sides are, you know, aware and in a timely manner. So not that it wasn't, I'm just saying, like, that's, I think we're still working through some of that, but overall, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's important that they see it the right way. And it appears that was the right way. And so that's why we have the rule the way we do.
You referenced the pass blocking a few minutes ago. Just, you know, Deion Dawkins saw a lot of Harold Landry yesterday and, you know, seemed to do a pretty good job. Just kind of, what have you seen from Deion since his, you know, sort of rough outing in the first week against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Harold Landry's not an easy matchup for anyone. I thought Deion did some good things in the game, and, you know, they were going at it over there on that left side. And, you know, there was some where it looked like, you know, Harold may have won a couple, but that's going to happen, you know. But I thought for the most part, Deion did a good job of keeping Josh clean, and, you know, and so we continue to move in a direction there of finding Deion's best football, you know, as we move through the season. I'm looking forward to watching that as he continues to grow and get more and more comfortable.
Sean, I just wanted to ask you really quick, going into the bye week, we talked about obviously Dawson's injury. Are there any other injuries that might have popped up or anything that you can share with us with any other guys, or is it basically just Dawson at this point?
Yeah, at this point, Heather, it's basically Dawson. We've got a, you know, a group of guys, a net of guys that have some bumps and bruises, things that we're still working through. But at this point, don't appear to be anything significant.
And then lastly, just, you know, kind of big picture as we hit the break here, are there any players that on either side of the ball that, you know, maybe in a good way kind of have surprised you over these first six games?
Well, I mean, I think there's been a lot of success stories to this point. I mean, you look at some of the young players we have that have played significant minutes for us on defense, starting up front. You've seen some of that with Greg and Boogie and the new player with F.A. Obata. And so, you know, the back seven has been pretty consistent there over the last couple of years, and they're playing at a good level. And on the other side of the ball, you know, again, some young players, you look at Spencer, which is, I mean, these guys get talked about quite a bit, but it's good when you have young players making, you know, contributions. Still a lot of work to be done, and the approach overall needs to continue to be one of work ethic and humility. But I like some of these young guys contributing the way they have been for us.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.